And so our subject today is fulfillment. And the reason that we're talking about fulfillment this month is that this year we're studying 365 Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes. And we are, I wouldn't say we're studying it actually, we're being inspired by 365 Science of Mind. And Ernest Holmes divided the year into months and the months into subjects, and the subject for October is fulfillment. And that's kind of a harvest theme, isn't it? You know, that it comes around to the harvest and we get to see what's grown, what's ready to yield its sweetness. And so I chose this particular reading, which is the reading for the 25th of October, to inspire my talk this week. And it starts out with the words, expectancy speeds progress. Therefore, I live in a continual state of expectancy. No matter how much I'm experiencing today, I expect greater good tomorrow. I expect to meet new friends. I expect to meet new and wonderful experiences. I know that when I live in harmony with the divine presence in and around me, I will be protected by its power. No harm can come to me when I know that God is the center of everything. There is an inexhaustible reservoir of life, of imagination, of energy, and will flowing through me into action. Divine power exists everywhere and takes form for me through my ideas, my faith. Today and every day I expect good. I anticipate meeting new friends. I joyously anticipate contacting new situations that will increase my livingness. My life is an adventure. I know that wonderful things are going to happen to me. I know that everything I will do will turn into good for me and for others. Something within me today sings aloud as I marvel at the limitless opportunities for my self-expression. My real self is God, the eternal, perfect self, the one, undivided self. There could not be a greater wholeness or a more complete oneness. It would be impossible for me to have any more faith than I now possess. I realize the perfect presence of God in me. That says it all, but I have some more time to fill, so I'm going to talk more about it. And many of you know that I talk to spirit within myself, and I write my side of the conversation, and I write God's side of the conversation, and I call God the beloved, because spirit to me feels like love, the omnipresence of love. And so when I began connecting with this divine voice within me, I called it beloved, and my nickname for beloved is B, because I write C colon and B colon when we have this conversation, Connie and beloved. And so I talk to B, and one of my friends said she really liked reading my conversations with the beloved. I call it chatting with the beloved, because it's fun, friendly, and familiar. And she said, other writings that I read about God feel very formal and distant. And she said, when I read what you write, it feels very familiar and fun. And I like that feeling of familiar. So this time I wrote to B, and I said, talk to me about fulfillment, B. And they said, your life is the fulfillment of our dream of being physical. And I said, whoa. That just threw me for a loop, B. I thought you'd talk to me about what it takes to feel fulfilled. They said, you don't have to seek fulfillment. You are fulfillment. I said, wow. They said, when you seek fulfillment, you miss the point. You can't look for what you are outside yourself and find it. even though everything else you could perceive is also the fulfillment of our imagination. I said, so we're back to, I'm not trying to create something I'm not. I'm allowing myself to perceive something I already am. B said, exactly. I said, wow. B said, exactly. And we laughed. I said, well, it's going to give me a whole new slant on my talk for Sunday. Thanks, B, I am loved. And they said, you are loved. You are love. Always. Always. Every time. You are the fulfillment. Your life is the fulfillment of our dream of being physical. B says we and our because they are the collective consciousness of love. And consciousness is oneness. It is collective. It expresses as individuality. It expresses as each of us. But the consciousness is one. It is always collective. Even in our individuality, we have access to that collective consciousness. Ernest Holmes talked about the one mind and each of us having the individualized center of the one mind that focuses the energy of spirit through us as we focus our attention. Whatever we focus on gets bigger. That's what Law of Attraction says. And as we choose our focus, we are empowered to change our lives. The tagline for Science of Mind is change your thinking, change your life. And so as we think differently, as we focus differently, we experience life differently. We perceive differently. So that's what I meant when I was talking to B and I said we don't have to change what we are. We don't have to create something anew. We just have to perceive what we already are. We have to be fulfillment rather than seek fulfillment. And I was watching an Abraham workshop yesterday with some friends, and Abraham was talking about changing your focus, creating the feeling that you want to feel in the moment, regardless of the conditions. They call that unconditional alignment. Staying in alignment with Source and feeling good no matter what's happening around you. Now, that's not easy when what's happening around you isn't fun. Nobody denies that. And yesterday when they were talking about it, this person sort of sitting in the back of the room said, but how do I do it? And so that's what I want to talk about today, is how we change our focus, how we change how we feel in the face of conditions that maybe aren't exactly what we want in this moment. And Abraham Hicks is one of my other teachers, in addition to Ernest Holmes and Science of Mind. And part of the reason I love Science of Mind philosophy is that Ernest Holmes encouraged us to explore every other philosophy we could get our hands on. Because what we are doing is each of us individually, that focus center of divine consciousness, is creating our own cosmology. We are finding a way to look at the universe, the cosmos, in a way that feels right to us. When I walked into my first Science of Mind church 25 years ago, the minister said, no one can tell you what's true for you except you. Breathe that in. Sometimes it seems like a lot of responsibility, you know. A lot of people want an intermediary between them and God that tells them how to think and what to do and what rules to follow. And Science of Mind isn't like that. In Science of Mind, we say you are Source, and the answers exist within you. You are connected to that infinite consciousness of the divine. It is so much bigger than most of us are taught we are. We are so much bigger than most of us have started out believing we are. Broken, sinful, flawed, you know, mistaken from the very beginning is what I was taught when I was a child, you know, that I had intrinsic negativity that had to be overcome. Well, Holmes's position is exactly the opposite. You have intrinsic goodness. You are essentially blessed. The life of God lives within you as you. That's what this teaching is all about. And to live this teaching is an infinite exploration and adventure for me, because the essence of life is infinite, and you can't exhaust the infinite. There's always more to explore. So we are here to explore. We are here to experience, and we can listen to everyone, to all of the teachings, read all of the books, but ultimately we have to decide, this is what works best for me. And if a traditional religion works beautifully for you, that's where you should be. If you fall in love with Jesus every time you go to church, that's the perfect place to be. If you feel peaceful in the Buddha consciousness and you want to meditate in your life, that's the perfect place for you to be. If there is another religion, that Taoism or Jainism or paganism, it doesn't matter. All paths lead to God, because God is all there is. There is nowhere you can be. You know, when you climb the mountain, you get to God. Well, the mountain is God, and every path up the mountain is God. There is no place in life where God is not on the field. And people find something that works for them and think that it's the only truth. And what Ernest Holmes' synthesized vision was, is that there is truth in every path, but that every person can be empowered to find that truth for themselves, to find what feels like love to me, to find what feels life-giving to me, what feels empowering to me. And so he encourages us to explore. And he explored everything, and I love reading his books where he talks about his experience, because he says, I always have 5 or 6 books that I'm working on at any one time. Because if I stay with one author, it all makes sense. It all feels consistent. But when I read someone else, they say something different. And he said, you know, I stay open at the top, and I want any philosophy associated with me to be open at the top, for you to explore what the latest and greatest is, for you to experience the ancient wisdom and the new thought that has existed through every teaching. There is truth that cuts across all of the teachings, the truth of oneness, the truth of wholeness, the truth of life. Can I have a Kleenex? The energy of love cuts across all religions, and the need to be uplifted in life and to find a broader perspective that lets you deal with whatever's happening right now, sometimes which really feels horrible, that cuts across all religions. There is always some explanation of how to find peace, how to get to center, how to find the core. So I've been studying Ernest Holmes for 25 years. I've been studying Abraham Hicks for 16 now. And one of my Science of Mind ministers once said to me, you have Ernest Holmes, why do you need Abraham Hicks? And I said, Ernest doesn't have a weekly tape program anymore. He died in 1959, you know. It's nice to have somebody who's doing ongoing translation of the teaching, which is the one truth that cuts across all of it, and all of them are different flavors of that one truth. That's what I believe, and that's what Ernest taught, and that's what I learned. And so lately, Abraham Hicks has been talking about going general, that when you're in the middle of a crisis, don't stay focused on the specifics of the problem, go general. And the other day they said on the Seattle tape that I was listening to, actually it's a CD these days, but I was on the tape program for so long, I still call them tapes, sorry. On the CD, Abraham said, most people are so problem-oriented that they feel they have to get to the bottom of the problem. And we want to say to you, there is no bottom. There is no bottom, because it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. The more specific you are, the deeper it gets. That's the law of attraction. The more you focus on something, the more of it you accumulate. And you believe what you see because you experience it, but you experience it because you focus on it and you believe you're going to see it. So you have to see it. You get more of it. It gets worse. So Abraham said, the more specific you are, the deeper it gets. So stop it. Go general. And as you go general, then what's really delicious is to keep reaching for the improvement that is also never ending. So law of attraction works in both directions. If you focus on the negative, you get more negative. If you focus on the positive, you get more positive. You feel better. And Abraham recently said, the best way of that they know of going general when you're in the middle of an issue is to just say, that sucks. That cracked me up because, you know, some of us use stronger words, but that's enough. You know, it's going general. It's not focusing on the specifics. It's lifting you out of the specifics into a general negative statement. And so what they're saying is go from the specifically negative to a more generally negative place. And then spend some time in the general negative, and then go to a generally more positive place and spend some time in the generally positive. And then after you've felt generally positive for a little while, then you can get more specifically positive. Because each of those steps raises your vibration. And as you change your vibration, the thoughts that come to you, the things that resonate with you change. Because you suddenly start getting other ideas like those ideas. Because that's how law of attraction works. If you're in a negative place and you're focusing on the negative, you get more negative ideas. But as you start moving to a more general negative and then a general positive, you start getting more positive ideas. And it gets simpler to find the idea. Now, I discovered something about myself when I was writing this talk, because I realized that I have a way of going general, generally positive, that really works for me all the time. And we're laughing because the signs are falling off the blackboard. They changed from a corkboard, which we used to be able to put pushpins in, to a whiteboard, and now we're using tape, and it's not quite as effective at keeping the signs up. But it makes us laugh, which is a good thing. I'm always up for laughing, so that's good. So what I discovered about myself in going generally positive is that as I'm in the middle of something, I almost always will come out with a quote. I know a lot of Ernest Holmes quotes, I know a lot of Abraham Hicks quotes, and I'll say, well, Ernest Holmes says about that, or Abraham says about that. And I've realized, looking at it, is that when I talk about the philosophy rather than the specifics of the situation, I go general. You know, I can say, Abraham says that sucks, and I can go generally negative, or I can say, Abraham says that the contrast creates the new desire that creates the solution. And as the problem arises, as the question arises, the answer arises. And so I can be more positive by remembering a teaching that I've studied. And so that helps me go more general. So that's an easier way of going general. But so you're in a negative place, and you want to do something about it. You want to shift your focus of attention so you can attract something more positive. Well, Abraham said the other day, it's such a wonderful thing to stand where you are and know you are not where you want to be. That awareness is huge. You know, if you are standing in a place and you think there's no alternative, it's terrifying. It's depressing. I was depressed for 35 years. I mean, I was chronically depressed until I was 35. And when I was 35, I got divorced, and a friend of mine took me to a study group. I felt full circle when I came back to study group. She took me to a study group that was studying Louise Hay. And I started learning about law of attraction and the divine within. Well, a little while later, somebody told me, Louise Hay is a science of mind practitioner. And if you're really interested, go to the Science of Mind Church. Well, there were several Science of Mind churches. I was living in Denver, and I went to my church, and it changed my whole life. But that place that I had been in up until then is that I didn't know I had a choice. I didn't know there was an alternative to feeling bad. I just felt bad all the time. And I thought survival was my goal. Just get through the next day was my goal for a long time. And it was very depressing. And I'd be, you know, I'd sit on the sofa at night, and I'd go to work in the morning, and I'd go home and I'd sit on the sofa at night. I couldn't get myself to do anything. But after I discovered the Science of Mind teaching, I started knowing that I had an alternative. I started becoming aware that there was a choice. I didn't have to feel bad all the time. Feeling good was a possibility. In those days, I went to see a counselor, and he said, "You have a right to be happy." And I said, "No, I don't." I mean, it amazes me, given who I am today, that once I felt that way. But I said to him, if you told me I had a responsibility to be happy, I might figure it out. But I hard work was my mode. That I was here to work hard, I was here to struggle. And that was what life was about. That's what I had come to believe. And Science of Mind changed my focus. So this is what Abraham said. It's such a wonderful thing to stand where you are and know you are not where you want to be. But know that you're in a good place mostly because you know that you're not where you want to be. In other words, my guidance system is showing me I'm offering a vibration that isn't serving me right now. And that's a really good thing to know. So when you're focused on the negative and you're feeling terrible, you are offering a vibration to the universe that isn't serving you. Now, when I talked 2 weeks ago about fulfillment, I talked about the fact that as we feel an emotion, as we generate a vibration that is close or not close to the fullness of who we are, the divine nature of who we are. And the closer we are to the divine nature, to alignment with the truth of who we are, the better we feel. And as we put out those feelings, it creates a grid. And the grid is filled in with experiences like those feelings. So if we're feeling great, we're attracting great experiences. If we're feeling terrible, we're attracting more things to fear or get angry about. And that kind of energy is going to be reflected to us, whichever it is. So if we spend our days loving part of the day, hating part of the day, we're going to attract things that are a little bit of both. If we're focused more on moving in the direction of feeling better, then we begin to attract more of what feels better. So let me give you a couple of examples of using this specific negative, general positive, specific positive. The first one I thought about was, what if you don't have enough money? And a lot of people come with that presenting issue. So first thing you could be saying specifically is, I hate not having the money I need to go on the vacation I want to take. I hate feeling poor. So that's very specifically negative. It's about a particular issue. Or I hate not being able to pay this bill that's sitting on my desk. Then go to generally negative. This sucks. I don't want to be tight on money. I don't like feeling bound in my decisions by money. But I'm not destitute or homeless. At least, you know, I have a place to stay tonight. So that's generally negative. And I'm not destitute or homeless isn't a real positive statement. It's a generally negative statement, but it's a shift Can you feel the shift? Can you feel the difference? There is a shift. So we're moving on our way to generally positive. At least most of my bills are paid today. I do have some money. I've been in this place before and things have turned around. Things always work out for me somehow. Abraham says I have lots of money in my vortex, and as I do this work to feel better, I'll allow more of it to flow. Good flows. Good flows. That's the law of the universe. Good flows. I am doing the work. I appreciate myself for doing this work. That was generally positive. And when you really get anchored in generally positive, all of a sudden it gets easier to be specifically positive. Well, I am going to lunch with my friends today. I have enough money to do that. Hurrah! I'll celebrate that. So it is an opportunity to shift from the generally negative, specifically negative, to the generally negative, to the generally positive, to the specifically positive. Here's another example when you don't feel well. Specifically negative, I hate having this pain in my body. I hate this diagnosis that says things are going to get worse and worse for me. I mean, they are predicting that this is a chronic illness, I'm going to have it my whole life, and it's degenerating. You know, I'm getting old. Those are very specifically negative things. So you go to generally negative. This sucks. I don't want to be sick. I really don't like feeling uncomfortable all the time, but I don't really believe this cannot change for the better. So that last statement was a shift. It's still negative, but it's saying, I don't believe that they're right, that my life is that limited. I can believe something different. And so generally positive. At least I still have my mobility. That one works for me all the time because I spent 4 months in a wheelchair once. So thinking about being able to walk and drive and go to places I want to go, that uplifts me every time. I still have my mobility, and I've been in this kind of place before, and things have turned around. Things always work out for me somehow. Physical well-being is always available to everyone. I believe that as principle, at the core of everything is God. God can't be sick. As I do this work to feel better and better, I'll allow more well-being to flow. I'll relax. I'll allow. And I'll appreciate myself for making this shift. And so then into the generally positive. Well, I'm feeling better emotionally already. I may still have this pain, but I know that feeling good means alignment. And emotionally feeling good means that things are able to heal. So I'm going to relax and allow my body to heal. My body knows what to do. And that is generally positive. And then specifically positive is, you know, I feel pretty good today. I can go take a walk, or I can go do something to move my body. I can go for a swim. May not feel good to walk, but I'm light in the water. It feels good to swim. So then you can find something more positive. I had another whole piece that I was going to do, but we'll do that in the second half as our exercise. So I am trusting that we are moving in the direction of letting go, of focusing on the problems. I'm trusting that I am moving in the direction of letting go of the focus on the problem and allowing the solution. And I'm reaching for thoughts that feel better under all circumstances. I'm moving to a more general place. I'm moving to a place that's easier and more relaxed. And as I do that, that divine energy within me is able to express itself through me as a more beautiful, a more expansive life. And life is good. It always works out for me. Those are general thoughts, but they feel better. So we reach for the general, and our philosophy is general thoughts that allow us to feel better. So when we feel bad, reach for philosophy and look for your friends and invite them to help you find thoughts that are more general, that feel better. Thanks.